I would like to read a very well-known portion this afternoon in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. It might begin with the 31st verse of the 21st chapter. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Then in the 22nd chapter, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his son, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering, in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. We'll just keep the place there, because we'll be coming right back to it. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, to go back to Genesis again, there's one other verse I would like to read in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, and the last part of verse 12. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Brethren, I'm sure we have, most if not all of us, enjoyed this chapter many times. We have brought before us in a most precious way the Lord Jesus typified in Isaac, the Lamb of God's providing, and we also have in Abraham and Isaac journeying together the picture of the Father and the Son of one mind concerning the cross. In the 10th chapter of John, the Lord Jesus says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep." And so it is that in the type that we have brought before us here, the Father and the Son go together to that which speaks of Calvary, where the Lamb was offered up, and where for the Lord Jesus there was no substitute, no one to take his place, but he must go into death itself in order that he might redeem us to God. But one has enjoyed meditating on this chapter and seeing what has been a very precious portion for one's own soul, and seeing how God has outlined for us here that which speaks to us of coming to the right place and that which will maintain us there. We find in the 21st chapter where we read that the Lord gave Abraham a promise. The promise was, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now, brethren, God never calls upon us to walk a path of faith without first giving us the promise that he'll be with us in the path, that he'll sustain us there, that he will provide what is needed, that he will bear us all the way along. When God was about to call Abraham to a special path of faith, he first of all gave him a promise. And to me it's very precious that the place where Abraham dwelt at the time the test came was at Beersheba, which means the well of the oath. Now it was given that name because of a covenant that was entered into between Abimelech and Abraham. But I believe that we see typified in that name the precious realization that we, beloved brethren, have the privilege of dwelling in the promises of God, the unconditional promises of God, that when he calls us to a path of faith, he will maintain us there. In Hebrews chapter 11, where we read, we find that that's exactly how it's presented. We find that Abraham was called upon there to offer up his only begotten son. But it shows us, but he had a promise. He had a promise. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so Abraham could count upon God, accounting that God was able to even raise him up from the dead, from which it says he received him in a figure. When we come now to the beginning of the 22nd chapter, we find the call is now coming to Abraham. But let us remember as we consider this call that Abraham already had a promise that faith could lay hold of. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. It was going to be through Isaac that Abraham would have many generations of faithful ones. So we find he starts off in the 22nd chapter and says, "That came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham, put Abraham to the test. And the test was, would he give up his only son?" Now again, this is very precious because Abraham had another son. The other son was Ishmael. But as far as the promise was concerned, there was only one. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. So much so that in Hebrews chapter 11, it actually uses the very same language that is used regarding the Lord Jesus. It says that Abraham offered up his only begotten son. It has the thought in it of the darling of his heart, the one who was exceedingly precious to him. When the Word of God speaks of the Lord Jesus as the first begotten, it is his place of preeminence. But when it speaks of him as the only begotten, it has the thought of the preciousness of the person to the heart of God. And we have here brought before us the preciousness of Isaac to the heart of Abraham. And the test is, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. When God had called to Abraham, Abraham was ready to listen. Brethren, is it so with us? When the Lord speaks to us through his word, when he speaks to us through circumstances, one asks one's own soul about this. Are we ready to listen to what God has to say? Can we answer like Abraham, behold, here I am, ready to listen? Well, now comes the test. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there. Offer him there. Brethren, we talked about this a little bit at the conference. It has been much before my own soul of late. And that is, are we ready to give up that which is very precious to us in order to be obedient to the claims of Christ? We find here Abraham was called upon to give up his most precious possession, his only begotten son, the one whom he loved. The question was he willing? Would he give it up? He was ready to listen when the Lord called. But is he ready to make this sacrifice? Oh, beloved brethren, you and I have so many things that we can hold very precious. We can hold our pride to be very precious to us and not be prepared to give up that pride for Christ. We say we're ready to listen to what the Lord has to say to us, but then we hold our own feelings, our own convictions, our own opinion of ourselves at times in such high esteem that we're not ready to sacrifice it to the claims of Christ. It may be our position. It may be our own circumstances. It may be the members of our own family that come first, and the Lord Jesus has to take a second place. Well, the test came to Abraham. Would the Lord have the first place even before Isaac? He was called upon to offer him up. Where? Why, it says, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, brethren, again, I believe this is very important for us to see. The Lord didn't reveal to Abraham right away the full path, where it would lead. One of the mountains that I will tell thee of. The first question was, would Abraham obey? Would he submit to the Lord's hand in this? The next thing we notice is that it says, offer him up as a burnt offering. A burnt offering. He wasn't being called upon to offer up his son to anyone else or for anyone else. He was being called upon to offer him as a burnt offering, that which is exclusively for God. For God. The burnt offering pictures before us that which is offered exclusively to God. And beloved brethren, you and I, what we're called upon, what God calls upon us to give, as it were, up for him, we can offer to him. To him. This isn't a question of offering it to the brethren. This isn't a question of feeling, well, if I want, they want me to do this, or I'm going to have to do this, or I'm going to have to give up this, as if someone else wants it. What we're called upon to do is offer it to God. It's a burnt offering. Abraham wasn't offering his son to anyone else. He was offering him to God. And he was willing. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, a burnt offering, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Well, we find the response in Abraham's heart, and oh, how one covets this response for one's own heart, beloved brethren. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Here we see the energy of faith. That which counts upon God, he doesn't even know which mountain he's heading for yet. But he's counting upon God. He's trusting God. He has a promise that Isaac is going to be the one through whom the generations are going to come. And he steps out in faith, rising up early in the morning. We find it tells us that he saddled his ass and took two of his young men. Well, I believe we see a little bit of a picture in these two young men. We see that which is perhaps speaks of somewhat of the energy of the flesh. They can't go all the way. They start out with him, but they can't go all the way. We see it says, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now, brethren, have we done that? Have we done that, regardless of what the cost is? And I don't want to let my imagination run away with me, but I can just picture to one's own soul a chat, a conversation with Abraham, as we find out from Abraham what he was prepared to give in order that he might be at the place where the Lord would have him to be. He would offer up even his own son. Even his own son. That kind of a sacrifice to be at the place where the Lord would have him to be. Every provision is made. The wood is cut. He takes Isaac, his son, and he steps out in faith. And then we come to the fourth verse. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I believe the third day brings before us the cross. That which speaks to us of Calvary's work, the Lord Jesus in the grave 3 days. And now as a result of his death and resurrection, beloved brethren, you and I have the wondrous privilege that we enjoyed this morning, of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet in his very presence, and to remember him and his death. Well, Abraham saw the place afar off. Now he knew where the place was. He knew the place, not a place, not one of the mountains anymore, but the place. And he saw it when he lifted up his eyes. Lifted up his eyes. Oh, brethren, again, how this is spoken to one's own soul. We'll never see the place as long as our eyes are down looking at the things in this world. As long as our eyes are down looking at the faults of other people, we'll never see the place where the Lord would have us to be. If I'm going to be occupied with the failures of my brethren, I'm not going to see the place. All I'm going to see is the failures. I remember years ago when I was just a very young man, someone taught me a little poem which I never forgot. It went something to the effect that two men looked out through prison bars. The one saw mud and the other saw stars. Everything depended on which way they were looking as to what they saw. Well, it was when Abraham got his eyes up that he saw the place. But now something else has to happen. The young men have to be left behind. And Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass. Beloved brethren, the energy of the flesh, that which would speak of natural strength, has no more place, no more position no more value in being at the place of God's choosing than the ass. The young men got left with the ass. Just as much as the dumb beast, it had to be left behind. And yet, brethren, how often, and I say it to one's own soul, how often we seek to act in the energy of the flesh and the energy of the young men, only to find that God doesn't bless, that God doesn't undertake when things are acted on and carried out in the energy of the flesh. It's only when it's left behind, when it's put in the same place, as it were, as the beast, that now Abraham's able to go on. And that's what it says. Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. Together. Here was the one who was to be the sacrifice, and here was Abraham, the one who was called to be at that place. And beloved brethren, Abraham found himself. You notice the seventh verse. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Here we find Abraham in the same place as the one that speaks of Christ. Right in the very place, the place that God had told him of, the place that he'd finally seen when he lifted up his eyes. Now he finds himself there. Oh, beloved brethren, that was our privilege this morning, of being in the very presence of the one who was the Lamb of God's providing, and led there by the Lord himself, by the Spirit, to meet in his presence and to remember him. Well, we find that it actually tells us here that God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. May I suggest, brethren, that seems to me that we often read this verse as if what it said was, God will himself provide a lamb. But that is not what is being brought before us here. It is God will provide himself. The lamb is provided for God. It is the burnt offering again. The character of the burnt offering, the lamb that is being offered to God. Who provided God with the sacrifice that was for God? Why, it was God himself. He provided his own sacrifice, the sacrifice that was for himself. Why does it come in this way? Well, brethren, to one's own soul, and to me it has been so precious, in the first place, Abraham was called upon to offer up his son as a burnt offering. And it's as if God, as it were, says to your soul and to mine, what I'm asking you to offer up to me is far less than what I've already provided as a sacrifice for myself. He's already provided. He has already provided in the person of his only beloved son burnt offering that met all God's claims. Now when he comes to you and me, and he calls upon us to offer up that which is so precious to us, regardless of what it is, brethren, he first says to our hearts, I've already offered up far more than you could ever offer. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, if you remember back in the second verse, it says, unto one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The third verse, it says, went unto the place of which God had told him. In the fourth verse, it says, saw the place afar off. In the ninth verse, it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Oh, beloved brethren, this is how God unfolds the truth to us. Step by step, how many of us here have been gathered out of all kinds of systems and denominations and have been led step by step as the Lord unfolded this precious truth to us? Sometimes the cost. Sometimes there was a high cost to be paid. Perhaps it meant being cut off from friends and relatives. Perhaps it meant offering up that which was very dear and precious to us. But how wondrous that God in His infinite grace brought us to the place where we can sit down in the presence of the Lord Jesus and there enjoy that precious, precious privilege of being gathered to His name and to His person. They came to the place of which God had told him, and there Abraham undertakes to do what he had started out to do so many days before, to offer up his son. He was willing to pay whatever the cost was in order that he might be obedient to the Lord who loved him. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. You remember how in the first verse, when God did tempt Abraham, he said, Abraham. Again, to me, this is very sweet to see. But you just picture Abraham there, and he has the knife, and he's ready to slay his son. Well, the angel of the Lord, if I put it this way, he wants to make sure he gets his attention. How many times at back home with my own children, I want to make sure I get them the first time, so I don't just say, Peter. I say, Peter, Peter. I want to make sure he pays attention and acts quickly. Well, here was the Abraham was about to slay his son, and the voice comes, Abraham, Abraham. He says, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now I know that thou fearest God. Beloved brethren, this was a very, very real test. Few of us are ever put to a test as real as this. But God recognized the response in Abraham that he would give up that which was so precious to himself in order to be obedient to the God who loved him. And so when God speaks to him through the angel, he says, the angel actually says, speaking for God, now I know. Now I know. Brethren, doesn't that speak to your heart and to mine? It should. At least I say it should speak to my own heart. Now I know. How easy it is to say, oh yes. Yes, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to be obedient. I want to please the Lord. But the test comes. The test comes. And brethren, how often we fall short because we're not prepared to sacrifice that which is precious to us. As I say, it may be our pride, it may be our family, it may be our possessions, it can be anything. Not prepared. Christ isn't important enough. Well, to Abraham it wasn't that way. He valued so much communion with God that he would make any sacrifice. And God now recognizes and says, Now I know. Now I know. Again, this speaks to one's own heart. Because, beloved brethren, God knows everything. You and I have to look at circumstances. We have to look at actions. But in the ways of God, God can read my heart. Surely he knows what's there. But God himself, as it were, says, Show me. Show me. Abraham showed him. Now I know that thou fearest God. The 13th verse. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. In the 4th verse, it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Brethren, have we already passed this way? Can I say, thank God, I believe I can, that through wondrous grace, God has given me and given many of us here to lift up our eyes and to see the place afar off and to go there and to be there in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. But now we find that Abraham is called upon to lift up his eyes again. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, there is such a thing, beloved brethren, and it speaks to one's own heart. There is such a thing as being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being there in the place of his choosing, and not seeing the Lord there at all. Our eyes so taken up with other things, our eyes so taken up with the faults of our brethren, our eyes so taken up with failures, our eyes so taken up with the things of this world, we never get them up to see the ram caught in a thicket by his horn. What a sad thing it is to be in the place and not see the ram. Not see the ram. And where was the ram? Why, it was behind Abraham. He was looking in the wrong direction. He had to not only lift up his eyes, but he had to turn around. And brethren, so it is for many of us. If we would have our eyes upon the ram, the one whom God has provided, we've got to get turned around. We're going to have to get our head turned around so that we're looking in the opposite direction to which we are sometimes looking, and our eyes lifted up, and then we'll see the ram. And beloved brethren, again, where is the ram? Why, it says he was caught in a thicket by his horn. How precious this is. You know, the Lord Jesus on the cross was held there by his love. It wasn't the nails that held the Lord Jesus to the cross. It was his love to you, to me, his obedience to his Father's will and his love to you and me that held him there upon the cross. He was caught by the very strength of his own love, held on the cross. Well, beloved brethren, it is so with us today. In spite of all our failure and all our weakness, in spite of all the times that we so often grieve our blessed Savior, can I say reverently, he is still caught in the thicket by his horns. His infinite love for his people will not let him give them up. Won't let him give them up. He's with us in spite of all our failures. But, beloved brethren, we've got to get our eyes lifted up and get our heads turned around if we're going to see him. If we're going to see him there, even though his love holds him there. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Here was an offering. Here was an offering. In the place of his son, here was an offering that God's heart could delight in. It spoke of Christ. And oh, beloved brethren, how we want to have that which we can offer to God that speaks of Christ. To present the ram caught in a thicket by his horns, present it to God. Not presenting to God the faults of our brethren, not presenting to God the things that God already knows all about, but laying out before God, as we did this morning. What a privilege to be able to lay out before God the very one that already delights his heart, his own beloved son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Greatly is the thought in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And again, to me, this is so infinitely precious. Abraham already had a promise. The promise was, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now he goes to the place. He's been prepared to give up everything. Everything that was dear, the most precious possession that he had. And now he finds out that the Lord gives him this wonderful assurance. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Oh, beloved brethren, the Lord is not going to give up his people. And he gives us a promise for faith. And as we walk that path of faith in obedience to his word, he gives us this continued assurance. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. What do we need? Well, I'm sure there are material things that the Lord sees, and he provides for these too. But much more important than that, he provides the grace and the strength that we need to walk to please him. You see, that's a difficult path. Oh, beloved brethren, it's a happy path, as you well know. And the Lord undertakes to provide all that's needed. Do we need more grace? He says he giveth more grace. You say, well, I seem to need an awful lot of grace. The Lord says, how much do you want? He gives more. He gives more. Do you need more? The supply is inexhaustible, beloved brethren, for you and for me. More grace. Strength? Why? He says, I can do it. The Lord, the apostle says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There it is. The Lord himself says in the 28th chapter of Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Do you need more power? Why, the Lord says, I've got it all. All of it. You need more strength? What about wisdom? Why, the Word of God says, does any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. How much do we not want need? Why, God says, I'm a liberal giver. I'm a liberal giver. All the wisdom we could possibly need is there just waiting for us to draw upon. Well, here Abraham says, the Lord will provide. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Oh, again, to me, this is very, very precious. The Lord says, have you given anything up for me? Were you willing to make that sacrifice in order that you might be in the pathway of my choosing? Why, the Lord says, in blessing, I will bless thee. We already noticed the other night, some of us who were talking together, how in the 8th chapter of Mark, we have the account given to us of how the Lord says to his disciples, how many loaves do you have? And they say, 7. And the Lord takes the whole 7 loaves. And with those 7 loaves, he feeds 5,000 people. And then he gives back to the disciples a basketful for every loaf they gave him. A basketful for every loaf they gave him. What does he say to Abraham? Why, he said, you didn't withhold your son. You were willing to give up that much of a treasure for me. Why, he says, in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thee as the stars of the heaven. Brethren, you and I in this dispensation, in this day in which we live, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is not one blessing that you have that I don't have, or that I have that you don't have. Every one of us have been equally blessed of God. Every one that's been born again has been equally blessed of God. But the enjoyment of those blessings depends upon our obedience, walking in obedience. They're all ours, but we have to walk in obedience if we're going to enjoy them. Abraham was willing to obey, and the Lord says, the blessing's unlimited. The blessing's unlimited. In blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Oh, we're in an enemy's land. We're in a land where there's vast powers arrayed against us, beloved brethren. But we're assured of victory. Absolutely assured of victory. We can't lose. We can't lose. And then lastly, he says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. How this has spoken to one's own soul too. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Brethren, God doesn't need us to walk in a path of disobedience to his word in order to be a blessing to others. To Abraham, he said, first of all, that he would have the blessing in his own soul, and then he says, you'll be a blessing to others. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Beloved brethren, this is the order, the divine order in God's word. First of all, the word of God has to be applied to myself. Everything that I hold dear and precious, the Lord calls for me to lay at his feet. To lay at his feet. He promises to pour out the blessing. And then he says, and you'll be a blessing to others too, because you obeyed my voice. You obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Again, to me, this is very lovely. Abraham goes back, but there's no word mentioned of Isaac going back. Notice that. It says Abraham went back. Abraham returned to the young men, because in the primary picture that's brought before us in this chapter, Isaac is offered up as a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus, he went up upon Calvary's cross as a sacrifice to God. So that when the type is given to us here, Abraham returned, but no Isaac. Isaac is a sacrifice. Oh, beloved brethren, God doesn't promise to give us back what we give up for him. He doesn't promise to return that to us, but he does promise that the blessing that he has for your soul to enjoy will be yours. And he does promise that you'll be a blessing to others if you and I would simply obey his voice. Obey his voice. They went back and they dwelt at Beersheba, the well of the oath. How precious, beloved brethren, we can dwell. He starts out and returns to the same place, continues to dwell at the place that would ever and always be a reminder that God has made exceedingly precious promises for you and I to enjoy. I would like to just turn to one other portion for a moment before we close, and that's in the book of James. Book of James, the second chapter, the 20th verse. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, brethren, in the book of Romans, we have brought before us very clearly that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. As far as justification before God is concerned, works have nothing to do with it at all. It is by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to justification before men, as we have brought before us in the book of James, now he says faith without works is dead. Don't talk about your faith if you're not going to seek to walk to please God. Faith without works is dead. And the example that's given to us here is the example of Abraham and the example of Rahab. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Brethren, works have a very definite place, but not for salvation. Not for salvation, but they are to follow as an accompaniment to faith to manifest the faith that is already there. And we see this so strikingly brought out in the two examples that the Spirit of God uses. If you take what Abraham was prepared to do and take faith out of it, what do you have? You have a man who was prepared to kill his own son. If you take the case of Rahab and take faith out of it, you have a woman who was prepared to betray her own country. One case, an attempted murderer, and the other case, a traitor. But it was the faith that they had that gave the character to their works that made them acceptable before God. Beloved brethren, our faith is made perfect. That is manifested for what it is, by our works. And faith without works is dead. It has been again very strikingly brought before one's own soul in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. We find there that the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye have love one for another." What does Peter immediately say? Why, Peter immediately says, "Lord, I am ready to give up my life for thee." The Lord hadn't asked Peter to give up his life for him. All he'd asked him to do was love his brethren. That's all. Just love his brethren. And sometimes, brethren, I submit to your heart and to mine, it seems sometimes that it's harder to love our brethren than it is to give up our lives for the Lord. Well, the Lord had to remind him there to love his brethren. In Peter's case, he was going to fail, and the Lord warned him that that failure was coming. But the time would come when Peter would indeed love his brethren, and he would in turn also give up his life for the Lord Jesus. Well, beloved brethren, may we see something in Abraham's history here that speaks to our own hearts, that no matter what the cost, the Lord has marked out a path for faith and how we need grace from himself to walk that path. But in it we have the company, the enjoyed company of the Lord Jesus, the assurance from his word that it's the path that he's marked out for us. And his absolute promise, the Lord will provide.